thunder and lightning. Very, very frightening. This is going to be fun. Welcome to Thundercast, Battle of the Unbeaten. Hey, Lindsay here with Manchester Thunder's official netball podcast. And just like that, we're about to hit the halfway point of the Netball Super League season 2022. As round 10 of the regular season approaches, only two teams remain unbeaten. They are, of course, Manchester Thunder and Loughborough Lightning. And they finally step out on court against each other for the first time this season on Monday the 28th of March. We wanted to get in ahead of the action to bring you the very latest from both camps. And what a scoop! From the yellow and black corner, we've got Manchester Thunder head coach Karen Gregg. And representing the purple dresses, it's England international and Loughborough Lightning captain Natalie Panagari. Thank you both very much indeed for being here on Thundercast. You're both smiling at the moment. It feels like there's not too much rivalry.
I think off the court, we actually all get on well. I think there's some good friendships across both groups. So I think, yeah, there's a rivalry there, but I think that's more evident when we're on the court.
What would you say, Nat?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Greggy there. There's some good girls in that Thunder camp and we get on well and like kind of lots of Rosie's connection there. And the likes, obviously, Betty that's played for Thunder as well, that kind of loved being there. So I agree. When we're on the court, obviously, it's always a great contest. But yeah, kind of lots of love for the girls over there.
Well, look, since you are the guest today, Nat, on Thundercast, I ought to give you your moment first of all and say, how did it feel to raise the Super League trophy last year?
Well, when it dropped and fell, I got told I was meant to take the lid off. But I thought, well, I've not done this before. So, what do you mean, learn something new? But yeah, it was amazing. And I think, obviously, for Lightning, it's felt like kind of a long time coming, kind of getting to those finals and lots of losses and kind of lots of tears after a normal grand final. So, to be celebrating under the year that everyone had as well, and the circumstances and how tough it was for every club, it really kind of was the icing on the cake. So, yeah, it was great to kind of celebrate and kind of get the first championship for the club.
Well, look, huge congratulations. And of course, Karen, you know how that feels as well. You're both looking forward to possibly feeling that again. How much is that feeling spurring you on?
Yeah, I think Joyce knows what that feeling feels like of getting the trophy dropped on her head as well, because that happened to us in 2019. The lid landed on Joyce's head. Obviously, that's what we're all working for, isn't it? Everyone wants to be lifting that trophy at the end of the season. And I think it's been an awesome season so far. There's been some great matchups across the league. Some interesting ones over the last few weeks, obviously, with the impact that injuries and COVID has had on some squads. So it certainly sets us up for a fantastic second half of the season. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Monday brings and leaves us lined up well for part two.
Well, look, let's get up to speed because this is, of course, Battle of the Unbeaten, this podcast. So 2022 so far, Thunder have played 9 and won 9. You've scored 70 or over against Dragons, Stars, Storm, Sirens and Wasps. And you got 69 against Rhino, so nearly at that 70 mark. But the goal difference against Pulse and Mavericks was only 3 and Team Bath was only 4. So some really different scorelines there. In terms of Loughborough Lightning, you've played 8 and won 8. You've beaten Team Bath by a larger scoreline than Manchester Thunder did. Also Mavericks by 24 and Pulse by 11. You've still got your rearranged game to go, haven't you, Nat? You've got the Rhinos one to come back in. And your closest game was against Wasps, which was 57-53. So there's a definite sort of balance, I think, coming into this. And I don't know which way to call it. Obviously, I want you both to call it, but I know what your answers are going to be. So I'm going to jump over that question and say, what do you think the big challenges are going up against each other? So, Karen, you go first. What are the big challenges against Loughborough Lightning?
I think it's stopping ball early. We've got to, you know, we all know Mary's a massive target for them. They can score quick goals. So for us, it's making sure that we're piling on that pressure early, you know, keeping them up court as long as possible and, you know, just confusing some space and making it as difficult as possible to get the ball into that goal circle.
Yeah, I think Mary Cholhock at the moment stands on something like, well, I actually know exactly what the number is because I looked. So it's 371, and she is the second goal scorer in the league because she's behind Peace. But Mvula is at fourth with 317. So, you know, there is problems fall of lightning in the Manchester Thunder shooting end as well. Okay then, Nat, what are your challenges, do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Greggy, kind of something similar. I think it's definitely going to be a kind of a game of those attack ends, isn't it? And which defensive team unit can really step up and work together to deny. And I think kind of sometimes when I talk about attack ends, I think it's quite exciting that both of those have strong dominant shooters. You know, you have got Joyce and Mary in the back, but out the front, they're some of the strongest goal attacks in the league that we have and internationally as well. So it's kind of shutting down like Eleanor Cardwell or Nat H in there as well. And yeah, and that's going to be the difference, I think. And for me, just really excited for the game to come up against Thunder. You challenge yourself against the best, like the best in the league at the minute as well, and just seeing where you're at. The first half of the season as well, there's lots of learnings. And I think for us at Lightning, we've not probably been as consistent as we wanted to be. So it's making sure we put a kind of consistent performance out across all four quarters, because I don't think we've done that yet.
And sort of on that, what kind of research goes into a game like this? And I want to know this from both the coach's point and the player's point. Maybe players, it's more training. But what do you actually research, Karen?
So we all have access to each other's games. So they're on a central platform. So we're able to download those matches. We get the stats from their previous matches as well. And you're able to look at that broken down. So you're not just watching a game of netball. You're watching, you know, centre pass attack, centre pass defence, any kind of live turnover, restart turnover, where the winning ball, where the losing ball. And you can really start to break down and look at matchups and what players' strengths and weaknesses potentially are and how you can expose them. So I know from our perspectives of coaches, we do a lot of work as a coaching team looking at our opposition, and the players do as well. We tend to feedback that to the players and then give them some responsibility to do their own homework as well, and that all feeds into kind of the training and the preparation the kind of the week before, really, and into our game plan and what we're trying to achieve.
It's absolutely fascinating what goes on behind the scenes. And that does that information then change the way that you train in preparation for these games?
Yeah, definitely. And kind of what the coaches want you to work at. Like Ricky says, you're picking up strengths and weaknesses throughout the week, and players will do their own behind the scenes. Some players will like to do more than others, and that's just how they work and adjust. And what some, like I personally watch quite a lot of video, like on who I'm kind of going to be matching up against, and we'll watch lots of games where some players just like to get a lot of the feedback from coaches and how that session and very specific movements of players may be doing in the opposition and work on that training. So it varies for us as players how much we want to do and how much we delve into, but there's so much behind the scenes that the coaches do and the analysis that goes into it, and yeah, it's amazing when you get it all over the week.
I know that Vicky Burgess is very busy this week. She was in back-to-back meetings last 3 days, so there's obviously a lot going on her end as well, Nat. But let's talk about those matchups then. You mentioned it, and I don't feel like Karen's going to reveal her starting seven today. There's certain things in this podcast that I thought, you know, I'm just not going to push for them because it's not going to happen. But Nat, you could be up against the likes of Laura Malcolm or Caroline O'Hanlon, and you know both those players well from your international career. How are you preparing for that side of things? You know, are you texting them in the background saying, hey, how you feeling? You all right? You're psyching them out.
To be honest, I've been texting Mel Spiesley, bless her, she's getting me lots of coaching and work. So yeah, it's all friendly at the behind the scenes. But yeah, both of them are workhorses, aren't they? The amount they're going to run, been preparing the legs, getting ready for lots of change of direction, just keeping up with them, to be honest. And for me, it will be about, yeah, trying to slow them down, kind of. Both of them want to get into the attack end third on lovely long drives, and they're so confident on feeding that circle and trying to get to the circle edge. So for me, it'll be about trying to keep them off the circle for as long as possible and what I can do and build pressure in that defensive end. So yeah, I love coming up against the two of them, though. That they're phenomenal, aren't they? And you want to come up against the best.
You always seem to smile when you're playing as well, Nat. I like watching you because you're smiling, even if you've sort of elbowed somebody in the ribs. I'm like, oh, no, she's still smiling.
Yeah, sometimes with some of the calls and maybe umpire calls, I've tried to now start smiling instead of trying to react. So this is now, I'm trying to take it off Beth Cobden. And yeah, trying to act. It's all good. We're all fine. We're all happy.
It's lovely, honestly. It's so nice. Karen, what about matchups for you? Because we've got a few interesting ones that could happen in terms of the Roses. So the likes of Cardwell against Williams in that goal attack, goal defence. position, and Cobden against Metcalf. That could be a good one ahead of the Commonwealth Games, couldn't it? What do you try and prepare for? Because we've also seen coaches sort of think, oh, well, the other team's going to play this player, so I'll bring on this player, which happened, I think, with Wasps and Loughborough Lightning, where Wasps thought Lightning were going to play Ella Clark and then they didn't. So are you sort of doing all the chess and mind games beforehand with your starting seven? Or do you just go, starting seven, best seven players this week?
No, I think you do have to look at matchups. I think if you're in a position where teams can guess your starting seven, they can do a lot of preparation around that. So you want to be able to keep teams guessing. I think you can look at a team and go, right, okay, you've probably got one of two starting sevens that this team potentially is going to play. You're always going to have impact players that can come in at any point in the game that can change things up for you, you know, that can allow you to try something else combination wise. So for me, it's looking at, well, what are Loughborough's strengths and who are our players best matched up against them, but also what is, you know, working for us at that point and connecting well for us at that point. And I think we look at the squads going into Monday, and both Eleanor and Fran have both been out with COVID this last week, so we don't know yet if either player are going to be back. You know, they've both got to go through return to training programs, and hopefully they'll both come through that well. But if either of them don't, then you're potentially looking at very different teams anyway.
So fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, there's just that added element every time this season where you sort of think, oh yes, that'll be that, and then suddenly COVID bangs in from left field and it changes everything. Okay, well, we shall wait and see. Nat, though, you've got the home advantage, haven't you, this weekend? You're playing in front of your home crowd. We've seen what they can do for you. What do you think that'll bring?
Yeah, it's definitely an advantage, isn't it, as players? You know, you've got the comfort of the fans and your own arena and your own structure and things like that. But I have really enjoyed going to kind of lots of venues and playing again just in front of fans in general. And obviously when you're at Thunder, it's so loud and it's so noisy. And I do also enjoy playing in front of that. So it'll be great for us as Lightning fans. I know loads of people have been messaging saying that they've bought tickets for this game because they're just really excited to kind of watch two good teams and loving that and loving the support that kind of the netball community is doing this season.
Oh, it's going to be a big clash, and no doubt the Thunder fans will travel. You're getting used to the sellout and the big audience as well, Karen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Thunder fans have been amazing. You know, they just under 5,000 at the arena a couple of weeks ago, and then a full house of 2,000 fans against Pulse at the weekend, and the amount of noise and the atmosphere they create is fantastic. Hopefully some may travel on Monday. Hopefully we'll see some in the crowd, but I think sometimes on Monday at 5:30 is actually really difficult for people. It's difficult enough for home fans to travel to, let alone away fans.
Yes, I think that is an issue that will be talked about even more as we move through the season. But you can, of course, watch it on Sky. You can keep up with the social media feeds from both teams as well. Nat, we know you've got a busy day doing lunges, getting ready for this big game. So just a couple of final questions for you. And this is a big one. This is the question I really want to know from both of you. Do you actually like the idea of an unbeaten season? Because surely if you lose, you learn. So is there something about you that we'd quite like to lose? Nat, you're nodding.
It is a tricky one. And to be fair, me and Beth Cobden were actually talking about it the other day. And I think last season, we learned a lot from our losses. We got beat to Thunder twice, both on kind of away and home fixtures, and it was classed as, and to Bath in the first game of the season. And we did learn a lot. And to be honest, there's lots more conversations, but you learn a lot from winning as well and being relentless and within that. So there is benefits to both. To be honest, do you want to get to semi-finals and just feel like you're an unbeaten run and then you lose a semi because you've not been tested in that mentality? It's a tricky one. I don't know a right answer for me personally, because you could go unbeaten and win the final, couldn't you? You say it's the best season you've ever had. So it depends on that last final game when it matters, isn't it? But I think this season we have been tested, and like I said, the Wasps game I thought was really important for us because we hadn't probably been as tested goal for goal until that game this season, to kind of see how the girls came out of it in that last quarter to really push on, and versus Bath as well, it's goal for goal for the whole game, so to come away with that win didn't actually reflect it. So as long as we're coming up against battles like that where we're showing how relentless we can be under kind of that physical pressure and pump, I'm happy with that if the scoreline still gets the points.
And you've got that unit defence that you go to, because I often say this about Loughborough Lightning, you don't have loads of the individual names and you're not always in those statistics at the end of the week, but you are such a team, if you know what I mean. It's the whole seven on court working together.
Yeah, it's something we've worked on, and it's not kind of been overnight or just last season that that happened. It was something that started from kind of Karen Atkinson years and years ago, and yeah, being kind of a team attack and a team defence. So, you, like you say, we're not fully on the stat sheet, it's not number one for third inceptions and all that, but we're kind of a unit. And I think as a back four, we work a lot together. And yeah, and the likes of working with Beth Cobden, it's kind of second nature now, but that's kind of come over 3-4 years of playing with her. So, yeah, really happy with what we're putting out, but we still feel like we can still put teams under more pressure than what we're doing. So kind of coming in and out of games, but that first half of the season feels, we're hoping.
Go on then, Karen, I want you to answer the big question. An unbeaten season, a target on your back, or would you like to see a couple of your perhaps weaknesses earlier on?
I think it's very similar to kind of what Nat's already explained. You can go through to the end of the season completely unbeaten, and it's the best season of your life. You know, the players are buzzing and you're thriving. I actually don't think any team has gone unbeaten during the league and gone on to win it. I'm pretty sure that that's, I know when Thunder had an unbeaten season, I think it was under, was it under Dan, we were unbeaten and we lost in the final. So it's a difficult one. You know, I would like it just to say we've done it. You know, it'd be amazing. We've had, as you've already highlighted, three really close, tough games this season that have tested us in very different ways. We were down to Bath the whole game, and we managed to pull it out the bag in that last quarter against Mavericks. That was like a roller coaster, up, down throughout the whole game. We made tactical changes throughout to look to how we could impact them. And again, on Saturday, we were really pushed against Pulse. So I think for us, we have been tested. Even though we've come out with the win, we've been tested in very different ways already. And that's created some great conversation and changes in certain aspects of what we're doing, what we're trying to get out of it and how we push forward. And every week is learning whether we win or lose ultimately.
Well, it's going to be so exciting, isn't it, on Monday. Final sort of words to each other then. What do you respect about the other team? I always think it's a nicer end with the things you admire. So Nat, what do you respect about Thunder?
I think for me, it's looking at their culture and their history. You know, you look at Thunder, they're always in top four. They're always around finals. And that's been years and years. And that's hard work from everyone, kind of from the players, but also through the franchise, the staff, the fans. Everything about them is phenomenal. I think kind of as a Northern girl as well, like you just look at it for admiration, the style, the way they play. It kind of feels very familiar for me, like my style. So I just love seeing them be successful and kind of one of the most dominating clubs within our league.
Oh, nice words. Go on then, Karen.
I think for me as well, like with Loughborough, they're a great bunch. You know, as we touched on earlier, there's some really great girls in there. Vic is one of my good friends. Sarah, obviously played with her for a long time. And I think that history of what Loughborough have brought to the Super League, of being almost, you know, a centre of attracting players, it has been fantastic. And to see them finally get their reward last year was huge for them. And you know, we don't want them to have that success again this year. But, you know, we want it to be a great game on Monday. And ultimately for me, I think their culture is obviously key for them. And say they've got some great personnel in there.
Well, look, now we've done the nice bits and that was lovely. Do you want any quick fighting talk words, Nat?
Oh, no. So it's all friendly for me until that whistle goes. With no fighting talk until then. On the court, and then it's done again. We move on.
Super stuff. Well, Nat, we're going to let you go. Karen, we're going to hang on to you for just a couple more minutes. But thank you so much for joining us on Thundercast. It's been an absolute pleasure. And good luck to you on Monday, Nat.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Nat.
Well, there you go, Karen. Very nice to see the opposition just before the big game. But you've done a lot of preparation for the season so far. You've still got a way to go. And as you sort of mentioned there, really, I think the unbeaten thing is a target on your back, isn't it? And I don't know. Sometimes I feel the players need all those different experiences. As you said, Pulse really pushed you in that last game. So where do you feel the squad is at the moment and what would you still like to see?
The squad are in a great place. They're constantly asking questions of one another, wanting to learn more, wanting to push each other each week. And I think from the Pulse game, I think what the players really took from it was that we have to be more consistent. You know, I think for us, I think it was highlighted at the weekend, we missed crucial shots at times, you know, at the start of the game. I think we had three turnovers at the start of the game and we didn't score off one of them. And that then makes it a dogfight for the rest of the game, because you're letting the other team think that they've gotten in and that they can push you. So I think for us, it's looking at the amount of times we lost possession, and it's not looking at it from a negative. You have to look at it from, well, actually, we lost X amount of balls, and of those X amount of balls, there was a lot of them were things that we can put right really simply. You know, things such as a replay ball or a missed shot or passing into arms, stuff like that, that can be, you know, we take them out and a 3-goal game becomes a 10-goal game. Do you know what I mean? It looks very different. I said, so with the players, I think it's just accepting that we all take responsibility for the errors that are made within the game and the inconsistencies throughout, and we keep pushing on. But then it's also looking at, well, why did those mistakes happen at that time in the game, and how we can actually make sure that we're not doing that again when we're under that kind of physical pressure or mental pressure, really.
We've spoken a number of times now on the podcast, but I don't think I've ever asked you this question. What is your absolute coach killer? What do you hate?
Gosh, breaking the line, obviously, I think is a key one. You just, for me, that just deflates you. You know, like breaking the line on the centre pass, it's like, oh. Because it's just a lapse of concentration. And that's, you know, for me, that's pretty unforgivable. And that's probably one of my main ones. And also any kind of incorrect throwing. So like foot on the line or anything like that.
Oh, foot on the line. Yeah. Foot on the line. I hate that rule. Okay, good to know. It feels to me like, you know, you're taking a bit of relaxation time before you go away. You're not sitting biting your fingernails, are you?
No, I think, you know, it's important that you have life balance. It's been an absolute mental start to the season. You know, we had a period there in the middle of the first half where it was just chaos, and I think everyone just kept going on adrenaline. So I think when you get the time to just relax, I think you've got to take it for, you know, your own sanity and mental health, really, you know, before the second half of the season kicks in as well.
So you're having a little break this weekend. You're not asking the girls to train this weekend from Manchester Thunder?
Yeah, no, we've given them the weekend off. This is the last weekend that they're going to have off before finals weekend. So I think, yeah, it's important that everyone kind of sets the refresh button and is ready to fire on Monday.
It is amazing to me that we're hitting that halfway point. And I think something that we've spoken about, certainly in commentary, which sometimes gets forgotten in netball, is that a lot of these players have huge commitments outside the sport. So they're working jobs day in, day out. How have you found matching all that stuff up with your training sessions? How does it work with Thunder?
To be fair, the girls are great. You know, they're really open. And I think the key thing when you're doing any kind of planning for your season and what that looks like is that you kind of tend to overplan, or you should be overplanning, because then you can actually take stuff out as and where you feel it necessary. The worst thing for anybody is you then adding stuff into calendars when, you know, things are already busy as they are. And I know the players don't appreciate that. The coaches don't appreciate it either. So I think for us, it's just making sure that we've got a really good balance. We obviously have individual meetings with all the players. We've got students, you know, we've got part-time workers, full-time workers, people that have to travel in. So there's all kinds of challenges really right across the team, and it's just making sure we're managing those players as individuals and we're listening to any potential issues that may arise. And I think the key thing is pre-planning, you know, highlighting certain times in the year where there may be struggles for some people if it's, you know, heavily loaded at front or back end of the week, and how we can best support that. So there's definitely a lot of talking, a lot of communication between staff and players, and just ensuring that we've got a good balanced programme where, you know, we're able to get the best out of everybody.
Final thing then, in terms of Monday, one of you will remain unbeaten, the other one will lose that title for this season. But as we look forward to the next 10 weeks of netball, who are the other teams to watch out for in the second half of the league, do you think, obviously from Thunder's point of view?
I think Sirens are sat in a place where they're not happy. No, I don't think anybody looked this season and thought Sirens would be sat down near the bottom of the table. So I think they've got to have a big second half. So they're going to come out fighting in every game, and we know that they're a really difficult team to break. So I think Sirens will definitely be one that we're going to have to be aware of. And then you've obviously got your obvious ones at Mavericks. Bath are gonna come back firing. They're fighting for their lives. I think having lost probably more matches in this first half of the season than what they have done previously, if they want to make the top four, they've got to have a big second half. So they're going to throw everything at it. And I think I think Rhinos are probably going to be there and thereabouts, but then I don't think you can discount Storm. Pascovia piece has been a revelation for them, and I think been that stability in that goal circle that they've been looking for probably for the last couple of years. So I think all these teams are potential that could trip you up, and ones that we're going to have to make sure that we are definitely prepared for.
So it turns out the list is quite long.
Yeah, and but do you know what, that's the brilliant thing about Super League this season is that there is a number of teams that can cause upset and give you a great game at any point. So for us, we have to attack every team exactly the same, because they all pose threats in their own way.
They really do. I'm very keen to let you go and do a bit of relaxing before the big game on Monday. We always do a quick final whistle though on the podcast. I was thinking about talking about the wonderful Pride game that Nat basically spearheaded with Loughborough Lightning. Wonderful to have those kind of conversations in netball. Obviously, we've got the big Serena Guthrie news in terms of her retirement, and that's been a lot of chat in the netball world. But this week, I'm focusing on the Suncorp Super Netball, which has just been announced. It is going to be broadcast across Sky in the UK. Great news for netball.
Unbelievable netball. And I think was it Wednesday night or Tuesday night when I got in from training, and literally my Twitter was going mental with everyone, with pictures of everyone screen grabbing their recordings of it on Sky this weekend. And obviously the statement came out yesterday. So huge news from Sky. And I think Sky takes some unnecessary criticism at times. You know, they're doing the very, very best for netball at the moment. And I think they're doing a great job. And I know people are now crying out, well, if they can show Suncorp, why can't they show Super League? And it's a very different entity, buying a package compared to putting on a package and providing staff and getting people there. And I think that reality people have to look at is that we're not quite there yet. And yes, we would love to be. And I would just keep encouraging people, subscribe to Sky, pay your Sky membership. Because for me, a question would be how many people who are criticising Sky have actually got Sky. But yeah, huge news and great for the netball world, especially in a Commonwealth Games year, to be able to see some of the big names on our screens over here.
You're right. In terms of visibility, it's brilliant news for netball. And we just have to keep pushing, I think, is the other side of that. So yes, wonderful news, but let's keep going, because we are more visible with this sport than we have ever been in terms of broadcast rights. And as we move to Commonwealth Games, so, so important. Wonderful to talk to you as ever. Hope you have a great tiny break this weekend, and very best of luck for the big match on Monday.
Thank you.
Don't forget, as I mentioned, you can keep up with the game on the team's social media platforms, and Loughborough Lightning Thunder is the featured game on Sky Sports on Monday, the 28th of March. First centre pass is at 5:30. If you've got any questions or topics you'd like me to discuss in the next Thundercast, then do get in touch. I'm Lindsay_Chapman on Twitter and Lindsay Chapman Presenter on Instagram. In the meantime, enjoy Battle of the Unbeaten. I'll see you really soon.